It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Wow, good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, April 10th. How are we doing this morning? So glad to be with you this morning again, this Sunday, from the beautiful Augusta National Media Building on this final round Masters Sunday. And Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. And by Platinum, New York's leading maintenance and restoration company for metal, stone, wood, facade, and terrazzo flooring. Platinum has proudly been servicing the New York metropolitan area for over 25 years. Visit PlatinumInc.com for more details. Well, I hope you're all enjoying Masters Week. A lot to talk about. And first off, it's very, very cold right now here in Augusta, 36 degrees. But it will be sunny and warmer in the afternoon with a high of 72. And the final pairing, Scottie Scheffler and Cameron Smith, they'll start at 240. So by then it should be into the 70s, according to the forecast. And the winds will not be as brutal as they have been Friday and Saturday. The winds will be out of the west, 7 to 14 miles an hour. Yesterday, the conditions with the cold and the wind were very, very difficult. Scottie Scheffler, the top-ranked player in the world, he holds a three-shot lead over the Players' Championship winner, Cameron Smith. Scheffler, who has three wins in his last five starts on tour, he started his third round yesterday holding a 36-hole record-tying five-shot lead. His lead is now three. And anything can happen out there. A three-shot lead on Sunday afternoon here at Augusta National can quickly evaporate, as you know. He went out and shot a 1-under-71 to get to 9-under for the championship yesterday. Only nine scores were under par, by the way, yesterday. He had a six-shot lead at one point, but then had four bogeys in seven holes on the second nine. His scorecard looked like this. He birdied two, three, he bogeyed four, he sunk a 17-footer for birdie on six. He birdied the eighth after a great approach shot. He bogeyed the 12th, birdied the 13th, bogeyed 14 and 15. He three-putt from 30 feet. He birdied the 17th, and then on the final hole, he hooked his tee shot into the trees, took an unplayable lie there. Then he hit an incredible long iron, 255 yards, going for the hole, and had a great up and down to make bogey there on what could have been a disaster after that errant tee shot. So with five bogeys and six birdies, that 1-under-71 was quite impressive in the cold, blustery conditions. And I can't say enough about this 25-year-old, who is originally from Ridgewood, New Jersey, by the way. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but he just looks unflappable. So confident, relaxed, very calm as he navigates his way around Augusta National in, this is his only his third Masters. And he is the only player in the field who has shot every round under par so far. So I'll talk about more about Scheffler in a second. But the player I picked to win the Masters, Cameron Smith, is three shots back. And believe me, he is ready to pounce at any moment. He shot a 468. His short game, his putting is as sharp as can be. And if Scheffler falters at all, expect Cam to be right there. In fact, it's going to be a two-man fight, I think, between Scheffler and Cam Smith. Both these guys will duke it out to try to capture their first major championship. Cam Smith has an incredible history here. He was first player to shoot in the 60s in all four rounds. A couple years ago, he tied for second in 2020. Last year, he tied for 10th here. You saw him win the Players' Championship in stunning fashion in March. Has an incredible short game. He's a very, very good putter. He's creative, and he knows how to hit great iron shots to win here. He can play aggressively. He can go for birdies. And I think Cam Smith will put a lot of pressure on Scottie Scheffler. And as unflappable as Scheffler looks, Cam Smith is major chill. and completely mellow. So it'll be interesting to see which player will be able to handle the pressure of the final round on the second nine as they each battle to win their first major, their first green jacket. Sung J.M. shot a 71. He's in third place, five shots back. He played the last 11 holes in 5-under. Shane Lowry, he started to make some noise with two birdies on the front. Then he had three bogeys. He carded a plus 173. He is 2-under overall, seven shots back. Charles Schwartzel, he shot a 1 over 73. He had an eagle on the par 4, 10th, holing out from 136 yards. It's only the 10th eagle on that hole in Masters history. He also had four bogeys. And at 2-under overall, the 2011 Masters champ joins Lowry, seven shots back. Justin Thomas shot even par. He joins Corey Connors, eight shots behind. Tiger faltered yesterday. The cold temperatures, the wind really slowed his aching body. He just walked gingerly up and down the extremely hilly golf course. He can't really crouch down to read the putts. You have to give him credit for working so hard to get back to where he can play after the accident. But he's 46 years old with a battered body, and he really looked beat up yesterday walking this very strenuous Augusta National. He shot a plus 678, his highest score in 93 career rounds at the Masters. At plus 7 overall for the championship, he is 16 shots behind the lead. He struggled on the greens all day. He three-putt for bogey on the first hole. He birdied the second when he almost holed out his bunker shot. He parred the third and the fourth. He missed a short birdie putt on the fourth. He doubled the par four fifth hole, four putting there. He bogeyed the ninth, bogeyed the 11th. He had back-to-back birdies on holes 12 and 13. He got on the 13th green and two, having an eagle opportunity there, making birdie there. He missed another short par save on the 16th, so he bogeyed that one. He bogeyed 17, and he three putt on the 18th for a double there. So not the score Tiger was hoping for. But, you know, when he was interviewed afterwards, he laughed about it, about hitting too many putts, saying he had zero feel for the greens. He said he could not get comfortable with the ball on the greens. He said, posture, feel, my right hand, my release. He said, I just couldn't find it. His legs certainly looked heavy to me as the cold day and the winds wore on. But let's be real. He has, again, reached even greater legendary comeback status this week with the fact that he is even playing. 13 and a half months after being in a near-fatal car accident that almost resulted in the doctors amputating his leg, he revealed months later. And not only does he play this week, he made his 22nd consecutive cut. So amazing that he's here and walking and navigating this just dramatic terrain with the elevation. On Thursday, his very first round, he shot a very impressive 1-under 71. Friday, he struggled in the early going. He bogeyed four of the first five holes on Friday. Then he turned it around, birdied 10, bogeyed 11 and 12, birdied 13 and 14, and parred the rest of the way home to card a plus 274. On Friday, very challenging, tough conditions with the wind. And yesterday, as I mentioned, in the cold, blustery conditions, his body looked heavy. He underplayed that aspect, saying afterwards that his body is not as limber and as loose as it normally is. Well, that's for sure. And, he laughed. Well, he said it felt like he hit 1,000 putts out there on the greens. So the Tiger comeback story has dominated the headlines here all week, and rightly so. And we'll talk about the man, the myth, and the legend with longtime golf writer and golf historian Bill Fields. Bill will join us in a few minutes, and we'll also take a look at Scottie Scheffler and Cam Smith and the rest of the guys who could make a run later this afternoon, if Scheffler falters. Susie Whaley, a top 50 instructor, a broadcaster, and the first female president of the PGA of America, she will join us at around 7:40. So the question is, will Scottie Scheffler continue to shine? As I mentioned, he's from Ridgewood, New Jersey. His family moved to Texas when he was 5 years old. He says he remembers being in his backyard in New Jersey hitting golf balls over the house, but he moved to Texas very young. He was saying yesterday his father stayed at home to raise him and his two sisters while his mother worked. He ended up attending Highland Park High School in Dallas, where he played golf and basketball in high school. He won the 2013 U.S. Junior Amateur, was part of the 2017 winning Walker Cup team, and he played college golf at University of Texas. He was named the Phil Mickelson Freshman of the Year in 2015 and helped the team win three Big 12 championships. And he was low amateur in the 2017 U.S. Open, earned his web.com tour card, and that's long after he won his first web.com tour victory. He was named Corn Ferry Tour Player of the Year, got his PGA Tour card for the 2020 season, and in August 2020, he finished tied for fourth at the 2020 PGA Championship. So this guy didn't waste any time. He has been on this accelerated program to greatness, really, and found himself ranked number one in the world coming into this Masters. So, you know, he's been around and has packed in a lot of wins in a very short window of time. And, of course, you remember Scotty at the Ryder Cup last September at Whistling Straits when the U.S. team beat the European team 19-9. Scotty went 2-0-1, including that win over John Rahm in his Sunday singles match. And John Rahm was number one at the time. And then fast forward to this year, of course, Scheffler earned his first three PGA Tour victories within like a time frame of 6 weeks. That first PGA Tour win was in February, the Phoenix Open. Then he won the Arnold Palmer Invitational and then the WGC match play. And he actually started the year ranked number 13 in the world. And as I said, came into this Masters as the number one ranked player in the world. And none of this attention has fazed him at all, it seems. He is focusing on the present. He said after his round on Friday that he's done all the preparation he can do. He talked about committing to his shots, not making anything overly complicated. He talked about playing here in previous Masters with Tiger and Phil and how he watched them closely, studied them, and really picked up a lot about how they played this golf course. And he said he loves the way Bubba Watson plays, his creative game. And Scotty's caddy, Ted Scott, was actually Bubba's caddy when Bubba won two Masters titles. So there's a lot of good synergy here. And as I mentioned, Scotty has been smiling around this golf course, looking like he's just, you know, having a great time. And why not? And, you know, contrast that to Cam Smith, who kind of always looks like his facial expression doesn't change at all. He's very laid back. He's just very, you know, you can't tell if he had a great shot or a bad shot. And it's going to be a great contest this afternoon. It's going to come down to who makes the fewest mistakes, whose short game is sharper, who is the better putter. And look, there's possibilities that the other guys could get in, be a factor, you know, the Schwartzel and Shane Lowry and it really is going to come down to can Scotty Scheffler hold on to his lead and just handle the pressure. It looks like so far it hasn't fazed him, but this is a whole different story this afternoon in the final round of the Masters. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Coming up, longtime golf writer and golf historian Bill Fields will join us. Bill writes for the Albatross, a golf newsletter. He's a former writer for Golf World, Golf Illustrated. He recently won the PGA of America Lifetime Achievement Award. What an honor. So we'll talk to him about that. And, of course, we'll discuss the historical significance of Tiger Woods even playing here this week and what he thinks of this leaderboard going into the final round of Masters Sunday.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Well, welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann LaGore. I love that Dave Loggins score called Augusta. He wrote it back in 1981, and it really has become the Masters theme song. I just love it. Love to hear it. I really do. Well, I hope you're having a great morning so far. Masters Sunday, nothing like it in sports. And you heard me give you a detailed rundown of the leaderboard in the first part of the show with a pretty in-depth history of Scottie Scheffler and what Tiger's been doing all week. And we'll continue talking about all of that. Joining me is longtime golf writer, historian, and the recipient of the PGA of America Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golf Writers Dinner this past Wednesday. He received it, Bill Fields. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Hi, Ann. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, boy, there's so much to talk about. We'll get to Scottie Scheffler and Cam Smith in a second, okay? But let's start by putting Tiger's appearance here in perspective from a historical standpoint, Bill. You know, the fact that he is even playing this week based on, you know, coming back from that near-fatal car accident only 13 and a half months ago. How would you rank that with other major comebacks in sports through history?
It's up there very high, and I believe I saw Tiger play in the PNC Championship last December in Orlando with his son Charlie, an appearance that got much attention because that was the first time he competed. It was an unofficial event, of course, two rounds. He could ride a cart, though, and that was the big difference. While Tiger showed that his golf game was not AWOL, he still looked like he was a long way from being able to walk 72 holes, especially on a course as hilly as Augusta National. But he showed up here this week, and he's done it, although yesterday appeared to really be a bit of a struggle for him, although a lot of his problems were on the greens, where he had 38 putts and shot 78 and was not happy with that performance. But an amazing thing, I think, that he's back. It compares with, you know, Ben Hogan, of course, 1950. He returned to action after being severely injured, almost losing his life in a 1949 car crash. Babe Zaharias came back shortly after a cancer operation in 1954 to win the U.S. Women's Open by 12, tragically passed away just 2 years later in her mid-40s. Tiger said the other day very candidly that if his accident had occurred in an earlier time where the medical technologies were not what they are now, he would not be playing at this point. He's had the benefit of everything that's available, and he's said that he goes through a ton of treatment each night just to be able to tee it up again the next morning. Bottom line, though, surprised he's here at this point. I expected a return in the summer, but he's here, and he's grinded it out, and we'll see what he does in the final round.
You know, that Tiger made a good point, because when Ben Hogan and his wife Valerie, they survived that head-on collision with a bus, that happened in the late 40s, right? And Babe Zaharias, that happened in the 50s. And
that's
a long time ago as far as how much advancements they've made in the medical community. And for Tiger to realize, I mean, boy, he has a team of people around him constantly just to get him to this point. So it makes you just really appreciate what Ben Hogan did back then and what Babe Zaharias was able to do after she was diagnosed with colon cancer. And so sad, she was only 45 when she passed away. But she had won, as you mentioned, that third U.S. Women's Open after she was diagnosed with the cancer.
That was her 10th major, 10th and final major, and it was a very emotional championship. She won it at Salem Country Club in the Boston area, and you know, she was, of course, an incredible all-around athlete, right up there with the best ever, or perhaps the best ever, an Olympic champion, and went on to play professional golf. Shirley Engelhorn, a fine women's professional in the 60s, came back from a very severe automobile accident that messed up her ankle. She came back to play. She won the Ben Hogan Award for coming back for such things as Tiger has now done when he came back from the spinal fusion of 2017. So this is Tiger's second big comeback in the last handful of years.
What would you call the greater comeback? The fact that he's even playing this week or his magical win in 2018 here, 2019?
I would say the magical win in 2019, 2 years after the spinal fusion, from which many people did not think he would be able to return to top level pro golf. This is incredible that he survived that horrific crash that he, you know, had, the single car crash going at a high speed down a hill. Thank goodness he didn't hit another car and harm anyone else. Thank goodness he was in a car that was sturdy and he didn't get any head injuries or anything. But the leg was shattered. The lower leg was shattered. The ankle and the foot were really badly damaged. And many people thought that he would not be back here, and here he is.
And it just seemed like yesterday the cold and the wind almost looked like it paralyzed his lower body, but it was really his putting, ironically, and that's what he could work on all those months in his backyard, his putting and his short game. But that's basically what faltered yesterday, ironically.
Yeah, he putted very poorly. He was very disappointed with it. 5-3 putts, most he's ever had in his PGA Tour career, which stretches back to the mid-90s. So, you know, did the leg issue and the dealing with all the pain over several days catch up in terms of just being able to concentrate on the greens? We don't know. But he's got to putt better today if he wants to finish this Masters on a better note.
What are your thoughts about how he's looking at his accomplishment this week, Bill, if we can kind of guess what he's thinking? Do you think he's calling it a major success that he's even here, or is he disappointed that he shot his highest round?
No, I think he's reviewing this as a victory. Even a man who once said second was worthless and third was worse as a young professional. I didn't use the word there that Tiger used, this is really something. And he said, hey, he was told he was very close to having the leg amputated. So when you go through a situation like that, he just wants to have some kind of quality of life where he can, go out and play golf with his kids, go to their activities, and live a somewhat normal life in terms of being able to walk around. And that was very much in jeopardy, given the severity of the crash and the injuries that he received. This is a bonus. Back going all the way back to 2015, when he was really hobbled with severe back problems, 2 years before he underwent the spinal fusion, he said, "Hey, whatever happens from here is gravy." That his career was in jeopardy then. So now, having survived that accident, come through all the medical procedures and treatments, this is a bonus, and I think you can tell it by things that he said and even the way, although it certainly has game face on, when he walked up to the 12th tee yesterday, it was a big tip of the cap. He looked weary, but he also looked satisfied that he was getting that kind of an reception from the spectators, because, you know, this really is a bonus that he's out here playing.
That's right, and he's really enjoying the adulation from the patrons. You can tell that, you know, he's taking his hat off and acknowledging them and smiling. And I just think he's taking it all in. And, you know, he was in bed, for 3 months after the accident, probably thinking, gosh, will I ever walk again, let alone play?
Yeah, from hospital to his home, he was in a hospital bed, he said, for 3 months. Literally confined there. And then was able to start getting about a little bit in a wheelchair and then with a walker. And later on, walking unassisted. And, I remember, we saw on social media, somebody would get a picture of him out in L.A. or wherever it might have been, and he was walking, and we'd try to judge how his gait was. And, you know, the man's clearly under a microscope and always has been in terms of, his celebrity, and no different now. But as when he came back from the back operation from 2017, I think people view him in more human terms now. He's not a Superman. He's a guy who's shown that he's as vulnerable to personal and medical stuff as everyone else. And he's still out here battling, and we'll see where this comeback goes from here.
We're talking a longtime golf writer, Bill Fields, and based on all his injuries, Tiger, his age, he's 46, what he's been through, what's your best guess, Bill, on how long he could keep all this up. It's really the walking that has been tough on him, particularly on this golf course with all the major elevation changes. But I know he's going to pick and choose his championships very carefully. But what's your instinct about, your gut instinct about how much longer he's going to be able to keep all this up?
I think one thing that's been lost a little in the comeback from the injuries to his lower right extremity is that the back remains an issue. He was having some back issues back in December of 2020 prior to the car accident in early 21. So perhaps all this time off actually was good for the back, if that makes sense. But I think ongoing, the effects of having had the spinal fusion, I believe that when you have that, it might take care of those vertebrae, but then it might put pressure on others, other discs. So he's got that to deal with. I don't think we know. I think any golf fan or sports fan should just appreciate that. We've seen him play this week in a major championship after the horrific injuries, and I wouldn't see it. You know, 10 years down the road, him still being able to play in the majors. I just think his body is going to be too beaten up and having shown the toll of all of it by then. But you know, with him, as we've come to know, you just never know.
Exactly. And you have to love what he said when he was asked what he hopes to be showing so many people who are watching him about never quitting and never giving up. He said yesterday after he played, never give up, always chase after your dreams. And I fight each and every day. He said each and every day is a challenge for all of us. I wake up and start the fight all over again. That pretty much sums up what's going on here with Tiger Woods.
It does, and he said that during his recovery, when he was able to start doing something, sometimes the things he did daily would be very small, but he would do something with his team of people, with which he's also obviously very fortunate to be able to afford and to have. He can have the very best therapist and PTs, and he's got that. But he's had to do the work himself, and he's done that because he clearly wanted to get himself to this point. And he did.
Let's talk about Scottie Scheffler. After all, he is leading this Masters, heading into the final round by 3 over Cam Smith. Scottie's coach is Randy Smith. He is an 18-time PGA of America National Award winner and a Hall of Famer, PGA of America Hall of Famer. I read an article about Randy Smith before Scottie Scheffler played in the Ryder Cup, and Randy said, in quotes, if there is anyone who hits the big shots when they count the most, it's Scheffler. What are your thoughts about Scottie going into this final round with a 3-shot lead, Bill?
I think Scheffler was very happy last evening to have gotten in, still maintaining a 3-shot lead. It was 2 strokes fewer than he had starting when he had a record-tying 5-shot advantage after 36 holes, but he really seemed to maybe have the wheels start coming off a little bit, a couple points during the back nine yesterday, but he stabilized himself, and then on 18 got a huge break when the ball was found under the holly bush instead of being lost, and he kept his cool there, and then from, you know, 240 or so yards, he busted a 3-iron that landed on the greens. So, I mean, the guy's got amazing skills, and he seems to go about things in a very peaceful manner. He acknowledges that he was a little bit of a hothead in junior golf in college, but he's tamed that, and that's not an uncommon evolution. It goes back all the way to Masters co-founder Bobby Jones. He had a bad temper. He said that famously, some emotions in golf could not be handled with a club in one's hand, one of the great quotes of all time. But Scheffler's evolved, and his game is in really great form the last 2 months. He's won 3 of 5 starts. This would be 4 or 6. This would be his first major championship. But I tell you, he's got a formidable foe in his rearview mirror in Cameron Smith, the 28-year-old Australian.
Cameron Smith was my pick. I was on the air last Sunday, and everybody heard. I really am so impressed with Cameron Smith. And if anybody can play aggressive and stay relaxed, you know, on the second nine, on the final round of the Masters, it's Cameron Smith. So I think it's going to be an incredible fight this afternoon.
I agree. Smith, I haven't seen him tie for second at the November 2020 Masters with Sung J M behind Dustin Johnson. And to see him do what he did at the Players' Championship just a few weeks ago in Florida, he one putted 8 of his last 9 holes in the final round at TPC Sawgrass on a very cold and windy day that was much like yesterday in Augusta, where Smith recorded a 68, the day's only score in the 60s, and one of only 9 under par rounds. Smith has a magical short game, and like Scheffler, he seems to have a great demeanor in that he doesn't get too bothered out there, and that's a tremendous attribute to have in a occasion like the Masters.
And I love the fact that Ted Scott is Scotty Scheffler's caddy. As you know, Ted Scott was Bubba Watson's caddy when Bubba won those 2 Masters titles in 2012 and 2014. So I think that is a huge asset for Scotty Scheffler, don't you?
No doubt. Ted Scott has gone through 2 Masters in which his man won with Bubba Watson. Watson, a very creative player, of course, as everyone knows. Scheffler, seemingly the same ilk, hasn't been the ball like Watson, but Scheffler has really shown an all-around game this week. I mean, I just think back to a pitch he hit on 13 when he was well right and long. You know, he lofted that up there beautifully, got the birdie. There's just not a lot that he's done wrong this week, and we'll see how the final round nerves shake out for him. It could be a real dogfight of, Scheffler 25 years old, Smith 28. It could be a great stuff this afternoon.
Oh, I think it will be. What's your prediction, Bill Fields?
I just have a feeling Smith might be able to get it done and come from behind. I really,
I
thought highly of him before the start of the week, and I still do. I don't wish any ill on Scheffler. He seems like a solid young man, and I just hope it's a great, as our friend, late friend Dave Anderson said, you don't root for anybody, you root for the story, right?
And you've been writing those stories for a long time. I have to congratulate you again on the PGA of America Lifetime Achievement Award. How special is that for you?
And I got to say, it was a lot of fun the other night. They had announced that I'd won this award in 2020, and then, of course, our world changed, and my goodness, it was the smallest of first world problems that I waited 2 years to receive it and get to say some words, and I was really humbled by the video that the PGA of America and Chris Svensson of CBS put together. It was really nice, and as with you, we've been in this business a long time and covered a lot of golf tournaments and made a lot of friends, and it was really nice. It really was.
Well, well-deserved, my friend. Continued success, and get ready for an exciting final round this afternoon here at Augusta National.
Great talking with you, Ann. And, yeah, let's hope it is going to be a little warmer today, I think, which everyone will welcome. It was chilly yesterday.
Absolutely. It's freezing right now, but it's going to get back up into the 70s this afternoon. So that's good news. Thanks so much, Bill Fields. I really appreciate it. Coming up, Susie Whaley, recognized as a top 50 teacher in America and the first female president of the PGA of America. She recently became president of Golf Nation. We'll have her analyze Tiger's swing, his kind of this methodological strategy around Augusta National, how he's been navigating this golf course that he knows so well, and we'll look at all the other players as well.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
All righty. Hope you're having a great morning so far as we've been previewing the final round of the Masters. Scotty Scheffler at 9-under has a 3-shot lead over Cam Smith. Heading into this afternoon's final round, they are the final pairing at 2:40 this afternoon. Sungjae Im is 5 shots back, Shane Lowry and Charles Schwartzel 7 behind. It should be a 2-man battle between Scheffler and Smith. Scheffler, winner of 3 tournaments in his last 5 starts on tour, and Cam Smith coming off his impressive win at the Players' Championship. I'm just so impressed with these two players. They both have all the shots. They're both very creative players. We'll see who can handle the pressure in the final round of the Masters. And joining me now, Susie Whaley. She has been here all week at Augusta National for Sirius PGA Tour Radio. She is recognized as a top 50 teacher in America, the first female president of the PGA of America. Good morning, Susie Whaley. Thanks so much for being on Talking Golf.
Good morning, Ann. It's a pleasure.
It was so much fun to see you here in the building, and I know you're very, very busy, but let's talk a little first about Tiger. He struggled carding his highest score in 93 career rounds at the Masters yesterday at plus 678. He gets started actually at 1050. He'll play with John Rahm, but you're a top 50 teacher. I'm interested in your analysis on Tiger's swing. How does Tiger swing this week, Susie, compared to the swing that he used to win the 2019 Masters title?
Well, it's been talked about so much, right, that, you know, first of all, let's just talk about how cold it was. I know people can't possibly comprehend if they're sitting in their living rooms watching from the television, but I think the last thing, and I would never speak for Tiger, but I think the last thing that he wanted was cold weather. And as you mentioned, you know, his body needs to warm up, it's taking longer, all of the factors into swing components. But his ball speed coming into this event was excellent. He stated he was ready to play. He stated he had the opportunity to win and wanted to win. And so while his swing has changed due to limitations on that left side, you know, I believe he had an opportunity in his mind that he really could do it. I think where you see some of the changes, or especially some of the changes, is in the transition of his golf swing. You know, it looks a little quicker than he used to in transition, and on occasion he got out a little in front of it with his lower body. I think probably due to the fact that there isn't as much stability on that left side, that left post, because his right side is just caving slightly underneath him. And so that causes a swing that's too shallow, too far from the inside, which resulted in some of those left misses that he had on the golf course. As far as yesterday was concerned, I mean, yesterday for every single player, regardless of whether you're Tiger Woods or Scotty Scheffler or anyone else in the field, was just a day of sheer grit and determination and of scrambling. I mean, typically, Augusta National requires some of the best shot-making in the world coming into these pin positions. But yesterday was more about who could hang in there and get it up and down the most. And you saw Scotty Scheffler do that. You saw Cam Smith be the only one under par. So the scoring average was incredibly high, over 74. I think to put that in perspective for your audience, I'm not sure in that weather yesterday I would have broken 100. So hats off to all of them. Hats off to Tiger, because when he's in the field, you know, the game is always talking about him and whatever event is happening at the time. And I thank him for his resilience in teeing it up for all of us to be able to.
Exactly. I mean, you know, just watching Tiger warm up on the range, the fact that his ball speed is 179 miles an hour, that's amazing considering he can't really put too much weight, as you say, on his right leg. He has to really use that upper body more to compensate for that injured leg.
He really does. And you know, again, I haven't been involved at all in any respect, but I don't want to sound like I'm an orthopedic or that I understand what Tiger's been through. But what we can always watch him is a dramatic moment. It's quite obvious that, you know, that leg just doesn't function like it used to because the rods are in place. But he stated very clearly that it's not a slipping issue. He feels very well braced. He stated that he's not having a problem with his ball speed. And so, you know, I really do believe Augusta National undulation certainly is incredibly difficult for those of us that do not have compromised lower limbs. I can only imagine what it has to be like hitting off of dramatic slopes with a compromise. So, you know, I think, again, he's the one that stated he wants to win this golf tournament. And I, you know, hats off to him because I actually believed him. I think if a lot of us did, and his mindset is something that as a coach, you know, I want every single student that I have the opportunity, the fortune to be in their lives, to take away from that and to realize that, you know, a lot of grit, guts, and determination.
Yeah.
And mindset.
Susie, are you on speakerphone?
I am not.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, your line is not as strong as I'd love it to be, but anyway, you're an athlete. You understand what it takes to be ready for four rounds at a major championship, or I know you played on the LPGA, but what do you make of Tiger with, you know, five back surgeries, this reconstructed right leg? I mean, as an athlete, just it's astounding to see what he's doing.
I superhuman. You know, I feel like he's, you know, a Warner Brothers character. Like, honestly, I don't understand how he continues to persist. And his determination to be in competition, his drive to be still the best in the world, when we all know that he doesn't need to tee it up again. He's made his mark. He is the epitome of the game when it comes to winning. And for him to want to continue to pursue that, and for him to continue to go through these massive, I mean, not just small injuries, and but massive injuries, and to work as hard as he's worked to be able to play at the highest level in the world. And then, oh, by the way, make the cut in what was the most difficult conditions I've ever seen. I mean, this is the first time, I believe, that I've been at Augusta National where they've gone through a different condition and weather every single day. It's been, you know, really wet the first day, then super windy the second day with that same wet turf. The third day, just gusts and brutally cold. And today, going back to maybe if you get there, lower 70s, I'm hopeful for that so I don't have to wear 14 layers. But maybe today, a warmer condition, a drier condition, and fast greens, as is typically the case here at the Masters, four totally different levels of what they're playing through. For Tiger to just approach this as, I'm ready and I'm going to go, you know, I don't know how. I can't even give you the right answer for how his body is able to do it.
All right, let's quickly shift to Scottie Scheffler. He said this week that shaping the ball left to right, right to left, hitting it high, hitting it low has always been really fun for him. He enjoys hitting shots out of the trees. He said he loved watching, you know, Bubba Watson play because Bubba seemingly does whatever he wants with the ball, and Tiger is the same way. So he really seems to be studying these other players, and he's a very creative player himself, Scottie Scheffler. What do you think his chances are this afternoon to maintain his three-shot lead with Cam Smith literally breathing down his neck?
Everybody can say that they love doing all that, probably until you teed up the final round in the final group with a three-shot lead at Augusta National. And I think of anybody in this hottest player, everyone is number one in the world right now. We watched him yesterday scramble, you know, a poor tee shot off 13, a poor tee shot off 15, poor shot off 18. But to your point, scrambled spectacularly well and realized just how to get that golf ball in the hole and to maintain that lead. You look at a Cam Smith, you know, arguably the best putter in the world at this point in time. He's had some blips here on these greens, but really the best putter in the world right now. And then you look at the conditions and the weather today and what Cam has done during this year at the Players' Championship at the highest stage as well. This is going to be a battle till the end, and it's going to be who has the best shot making today, but more so when they make a mistake, who makes the mistake in the right place at this golf course, and if they're able to actually convert and get that ball up and down. So it's also a battle of no bogeys and making sure that you get under par, as Cam was the only one that did that yesterday.
Susie Whaley, thank you so much. Enjoy the final round. Continued success. We'll have to talk about Golf Nation another time, but congratulations on that new project, and look forward to seeing you later.
I look forward to seeing you later, too. Let's hope it's warmer.
Susie Whaley, my thanks to Susie. My thanks to Bill Fields, Ed Arzuman in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. And Talking Golf is brought to you by Platinum, New York's leading maintenance and restoration company for metal, stone, wood, facade, and terrazzo flooring. Platinum has proudly been servicing the New York metropolitan area for over 25 years. Visit PlatinumInc.com for more details. And as the legendary Bobby Jones once said, in quotes, golf is the closest game to the game we call life. You get bad breaks from good shots, you get good breaks from bad shots, but you have to play the ball as it lies. Isn't that the truth? Enjoy the final round of the Masters, everyone. Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge is coming up. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next Sunday morning on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.